Okay, when Ksubis, Samach Zayin, Amid Beis, 8 lines from the end of the page. In the Schattenstein Gemara 67 before, second column.
We did.
Gemara says like this. Mar Ukva hava anya b'shvivusei. Mar Ukva had a poor man in his neighborhood. Davidogel shadur le abba me'ezuzah komayli yoyim de kipurim. Every year he's in Kippur, he would give him 400 zuz for tzedakah. There was one man he gave every year 400 zuz. Yom Echad, one day, before Yom Kippur, Shadrin and Ele Biyad Birei, he sent Marukva send the money with his son. Okay? By the way, this is the same Marukva that jumped into the oven that we learned last week. Okay. So he sent the money, the 400 zuz, to this guy. Also, the kid came back and said, Leitzarech, the guy doesn't need the money. Why are you giving him money? He doesn't need the money. Amalei Mechazis, he says, what did you see that thinks he doesn't need the money? So he says, Chazoy Dago Kamalfa Leyayin Yoshin. I saw they were making an aroma in the house with aged wine. Okay, meaning like this. Years ago, how did they perfumanize a room? They would squirt aged wine, which has a very strong smell. And aged wine is expensive. So he said to him, I don't understand you. You're giving this guy money, and they're making an aroma in the house with aged wine. So Maruk, instead of saying, oh yeah, what happened? Amar mefanik l'kulai, he is so pampered. That means this is what he's accustomed to. I'm fiva shadin in LA. He doubled the money and gave it to him anyway. The son came back and said, the guy doesn't need the $400, he has money. So Marukva says, oh my God, this is what he does, so he needs double the money. So he sent him 800. Okay, now so this is Marukva Bechlal, like we last week in this story, he gave a lot of money to Tzedakah. Okay? Now, Kikonacha Nafshe, when Marukva was dying, when he was passing away, Amar Aysaluchesh benaited Tzedakah, he said to whoever, his servants, his family, give me the cheshbin. I want to know how much tzedakah I gave in my lifetime. I'm dying. I want to know how much, how much merchandise I have to come up there. Ashkechei, they found that the kosebei was written in his diary. Shivis alfa dinre sianki. 7,000 sianki dinners, which is, as the guys say at the bottom, it was 119,000 regular dinners. In those days, and they say, 100 dinar was a lot of money, right? In those days. He gave away 119,000 dinners. Omer Samarukfa said, Zavadai Kalila V'urcha Rechikta. He says like this, a remarkable expression. He says, my provisions are light and the road is long. Meaning, I didn't give enough money to tzedakah. Basically, what he's saying, I'm going on a long trip with very little food. He said, I'm dying, I'm coming up to heaven, but the food I have to take with me is minimal. It's only $119,000, basically. So what happened? Come, he took half of his money that he had left and gave it to Tzedakah. On his deathbed, he gave it to half to Tzedakah. So now the Gemara says, hey, so Gemara asks, Heicha Ovid Lei, how was he allowed to do it? How is he allowed to give half of his money to Tzedakah? Amar Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Eloi said that for Usha is keen in the city of Usha. Remember we learned the big Bezdin of 71 started off in Yerushalayim. They had 10 exiles there in Yavne and Usha and the various different cities. Yeah? And they finally ended up in Tveria. Tiberias. And then the Rambam writes, when Mashiach comes, they're going to go back to Tiberias and then go from there to Yerushalayim. So in the, meaning with Usha, he's being that the big Bezdin of, one second, the big Bezdin of 71, yeah, when they were in Usha, made a decree that what? Hamavaz veis, one who gives money to Tzedakah, Ayavaz veis, Yosef Mechemish, cannot give more than a fifth of his earnings to Tzedakah. Meaning like this. The proper amount of tzedakah is 10%. Better amount is 20%, a fifth of your earnings. So the Gemara said, but you shouldn't give more than a fifth. So the question is, how is Mar Ukva able to give half of his money away to tzedakah when the Gemara says you're not allowed to give more than a fifth? So I'll explain this and we'll learn the answer and then we'll discuss it. Hani mili mechayim. The Gemara says like this. This that the Gemara made a takana, you can't give more than a fifth, that's always when you're alive. Why? Because shemayeder min chasav, because if you're going to give away too much money for tzedakah, you might end up getting broke and you won't have money to live. So therefore, he said, don't give that much for tzedakah. Avo lachan misa. But Mar Ukva was giving away after he died. When he died, I don't want to give half my money to tzedakah. Less than but the din doesn't apply. Okay? So therefore, Mar Ukva was allowed to give away more than that.
But that's a problem if he has heirs.
The problem for the heirs, it's not for him.
Heirs, he can't give money after his death, he can do it before his death.
Doesn't matter. He doesn't have to worry about the heirs, halachically. Because it says, in fact, you bring down from giving half one's assets to charity at the time of death is like dividing one's own inheritance with one's heirs. Half to one's soul and half to the heirs. Why can't he take a part of the money? He's giving it for his soul, he's giving to tzedakah. And the rest of the money he's giving to the heirs. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara's question was, how is Mar Ukva able to give away half his money when the Gemara says you shouldn't give away more than a fifth? So the Gemara answered, that's only when you're alive. When you're alive, you shouldn't give away more than a fifth because you might go broke and you will have to get tzedakah. But when you're dying, you can give away even more.
Question. You said Mashiach has to go to Tiberias.
I didn't say that. I said the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin.
Oh.
No, you know what Mashiach is now.
Not
right. So, doesn't have to go to Tveria. The Beis Din has to go to Tveria. Okay, now.
So how come they're not there
in Tanya, Dal Terebi brings down an interesting thing, and even at the bottom he says, you look, there's Svarim that say when you're allowed to give more than... Dal Terebi speaks in the Gersa Tshuva, in Tanya, he says that there's a passing of the Neil that says, Chato'echa b'tzedakah preik, redeem your sins with tzedakah. Okay? Now, tzedakah is not Tshuva. Just like a sacrifice is not Tshuva. Somebody sinned, they have to bring a sin offering, but that's not tshuva. You do a sin offering, you have to do tshuva. This is a gift that you give post-tshuva. So now that we don't have kabbonis, so it used to be fasting, because fasting also you're like sacrificing your blood and flesh, because you're not eating. But Alter Rebbe says nowadays to fast is a sin, so therefore Alter Rebbe says you have to give tzedakah. So Alter Rebbe says, l'chayra, you might... If you can, and he says how much to give. So he said, if you're going to be giving that amount of money, you can end up giving more than a fifth. You can end up giving more than a fifth. So Alter Rebbe says that doesn't, it's not a, well, don't worry about it. Why? He says, this that the Gemara says, here and other, it's not only here, in different places, that you shouldn't give more than a fifth. That's only if you don't sin. Meaning, a person who doesn't sin, you talk about giving tzedakah, so then the Gemara says, don't give more than 20%. Don't give more than a fifth. But a person who sinned, and now they need spiritual medicine, with tzedakah is spiritual medicine, he says, the pasuk says, kol asher la'ish, yitein bad nafshi. Unless you're Jack Benny, for those who know who Jack Benny was.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, your money or your life, you say, let me think about it. Okay. But normally a person will give away everything he owns to save his life. Save it. I don't know about the other mothers-in-law, but to save his own life, a guy would give away all his money. Right? So the Alter Rebbe said, why is this medicine worse than any other medicine? You know, the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, this, the Gemara says, don't give more than a fifth. Speaking, you don't need to give for sinning. Just in the midst of tzedakah, don't give more than a fifth. But if you're giving because you sinned and you want to redeem your sins, by giving tzedakah, it doesn't apply. But anyway, but Mar Ukva definitely didn't sin. He was an emir of the Gemara. He was a very holy tzaddik. But nevertheless, he was on his deathbed, he was able to give away half. And the Gemara says, how was he allowed to do it? The Gemara says, you can't give more than a fifth when you're alive, but here he's dying, you can give more.
And okay. The mitzvot, why we do v'chai bohem? Because you have to be alive to do a mitzvot?
No. Why what?
Do the mitzvot. Because he wants to give a tzedakah, he's dying, so he can do what he
wants. No, because it's to take the schus with him. Yeah. The reason, the Gemara says, the reason why you can't give more than a fifth, because you might go broke, and then you'll have, but now you're dying, you're not going broke anymore.
That person can only do mitzvah when he's alive. When he's dead, he gives a daka, he's not alive.
No, he's giving it now, when he dies, that when he dies, the money should go to tzedakah. People leave over in the will, right? The money for charity, what?
Maybe Jack Benny was right. It's the whole Napshchol Chol Maidecha.
Yeah, some people have the money. Yeah, he was right. Especially when he was Jewish. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Rav Abba, Havatzai, remember we learned before in the Gemara that Mar Ukva didn't want anybody to know who got the tzedakah, who gave the tzedakah. Okay. So Gemara says a similar story with Rav Abba. Havatzai Zuzi Besudra, he would put a bunch of money in a kerchief, in a scarf, v'shadu le'lachurei, and he put it behind him. You know, he put money into a sack or a scarf, whatever, and he carried it over his back. And he went near the houses of poor people. You know, he went to a poor neighborhood. Meaning what they would do, the people would untie the scarf and take money. So what was the milah with that? That they saw it was Rababa, obviously, but he didn't see it was them. But the Gemara says, nevertheless, and the Mefarshim say, how is this possible? Yet, Rav Abba didn't see the people that took money, because he didn't want to feel indebted to him. But he was able to look back and make sure nobody was stealing, cheating. And now he made sure only the poor people got it, but he didn't see who they were. Okay, here at the bottom, he brings down, by the way, the Mashal says that he didn't see the people, but he saw who would be a swindler. Okay, so here he quotes, there's 8 levels of, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Tzedakah, there's 8 levels of giving tzedakah. The highest level is to assist a fellow through a gift, loan, or partnership, or paid work, that he will not have to become a beggar. And that's to help him out in business. 2, the next highest level is a way that no one knows who is given, and the pauper doesn't know who he got it from. I mean, the giver doesn't know the taker doesn't know the giver. 3, lesson where a giver knows to whom he has given, but the pauper doesn't know who is taken, like the story of Marukva. Marukva knew who the poor man was, right? But the poor man didn't know who Marukva was. Lesson that the pauper knows who he has taken, the giver doesn't know who it's like Rabbi Abba's case. Lesson that the giver and the pauper know each other, but the giver gives the poor man before the poor man even asks for it. Lesson that the pauper has already asked him, but the giver gives an appropriate sum. Lesson that where he gives him less than the appropriate sum, but does so pleasantly. Lesson that where he gives him in a foul mood, in a rotten mood. And then you scream at the guy, you give him the money, but you scream at him. What?
Highest level is that you give him...
No, a gift of partnership that he should never need to beg. To help him out. The guy's falling in business. To help him out in a way that he doesn't. Okay.
Giving him a loan.
Yeah, that's what it is. Giving him a loan.
Well, it sounds like over there means you're working as a business partner.
Yeah. Give him a loan or a partnership or offer paid work.
That's the same.
That he won't have to come to having to take tzedakah. Right. That's what it means. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Rav Chanina, Hava Halwanya, there was a poor man of Chanina's neighborhood. Every Erev Shabbos, he gave him 4 zuz. He gave this guy 4 zuz for tzedakah. One time, Rav Chanina couldn't go himself. He sent the money with his wife to give this poor man the 4 zuz. Also, she came back with the money, of course, and she said, "Lo tzarich. He doesn't need the money." He says, "And my chazus, how do you know that he doesn't need the money?" He said, "Shame avakamali, I heard that they were asking him, Bama'ata said, what do you want to eat today? You want to eat betli kesev upon silver tablecloths or betli zov and golden tablecloths?" Meaning, it doesn't mean gold and silver. The Mefarshim explain, silver means white linen and gold means dyed silk. Now, only rich men eat on such expensive linen. So the wife comes back, she's about to give the guy money, the 4 zuz, and she hears that they're asking the guy, "You want white linen today, you want dyed linen today?" So she said, "Man, the guy has money because paupers, don't that." Okay, so now, Amar, I know. Oh, so Lepel, he didn't give him the money.
She
came back with the money. Okay. When she told her husband, he didn't do what Mar Ukva did. Oh, he needs more, give it to him. Yeah? And Taisus says, well, why didn't he do what Mar Ukva did? He should have said, oh, I didn't know, he's used to it, maybe he needs double. So Taisus says, because those things, the tablecloths, you can't say what you're accustomed to. The other thing was, when he said Mar Ukva's case, right? And Erev Yom Kippur. He said, they're spraying the house with wine. Yeah? To make the... So he says, over there, a guy could be pampered like that. But Taisa says, the linen tablecloths, though in those days were very, very expensive, he said, it's not pampering. The guy was very wealthy. So then, you see in the Gemara, he's going to say, we have to thank the liars for keeping... He says like this. Amar, so Rav Chanina said, this is what Rabbi Lazar said. Let's show gratitude to swindlers who make themselves poor to collect money. They're not really poor. Right? They make it as if they're poor to be able to collect money. Why? Because without them, we'd be sinning every day. Now, meaning like this. What Rashi says, now that they're swindlers, when we don't give tzedakah, we can excuse ourselves that I thought he was a swindler. In other words, somebody asks you for tzedakah, you don't give, it's a terrible aveda. Right? So he said, we can thank the swindlers.
That's every day.
1 minute. We thank the swindlers for us justifying ourselves why we don't give tzedakah. Because now we can say, because the guy's a swindler. That's why I didn't want to give him. Understand? That's what Rashi explains to
the Gemara. But it's every day you get swindlers. I don't know if they come here now, but they get the same people coming every day, or different people coming every day to shul I go to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you daven to God every day?
Yeah.
That God should give you what? All every kind. Day?
All
okay. Kind. So we give other people, God gives us.
Okay.
Shinema, because the pasuk says like this. Where, how does the swindler save us? So it says like this, because the pasuk says, the kano lechol Hashem, the pasuk says like this, if a poor man's gonna ask you for money, and you're not gonna give him, he's gonna call out to Hashem, v'hoyah b'chachet, you're gonna be sinning. What does this mean? Rabbi Chiya said that Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says, "Kol amaylam ein of me'ad minat tzedakah." Whoever turns his eyes away from a poor man who's asking for tzedakah, kilo eved avedus kechav, is like worshiping idols. So he said the sin of not giving tzedakah is very, very severe. It's like worshiping idols. So we would be very punished by all this, by not giving tzedakah. So Rabbi Elazar says, that by us, because of the swindlers, we can justify that we're not giving because we can say they're swindlers. And that's why we're not giving. So that's what saves us. Now, the Gemara learns out, how do you know if you don't give tzedakah, it's like you're worshipping idols? Because over here by tzedakah it says, Hisham elucha, should be careful to tell one says, Ben yiyah davam levavcha b'liyal, something evil will be by you not to give money during Shemitah because, you know, it's gonna negate the loan. Elksiv hasim by Avodah Zarah it says, Yotzu anashim b'nei b'liyal. So by Avodah Zarah it says the word b'liyal, by not giving tzedakah it says the word b'liyal. Which means bali oil, without a yoke. So the Gemara says, it's exer shava. So therefore we learn out from the bali al of Avodah Zarah, which is worshipping idols. And by not giving tzedakah, it says the word bali al. So from here we learn that if you don't give tzedakah, it's like you're worshipping idols. Malahal and Avodah Kochavim, just like over there it refers to idol worshipping, Avkan Avodah Kochavim.
Is any logic to it, or just
Why is it?
It looks like killing. Shefech adamim. That he needs food. You don't give him food, you're killing him. So, but why Avodah Zarah?
So at the bottom, he brings it down a whole simple, it's a very simple explanation. He says like this. Why is ignoring a poor man like idol worshipping? So he says like this. One of the main purposes of giving truma, meiser, and charity, why does Hashem say give tzedakah? It's my money, why should I give tzedakah? Right? I earned it. So the answer is, because by giving tzedakah, truma, meiser, and all that, we're basically saying it's not my money, it's God's money. It's Hashem's money. Therefore, I have to give these things to the poor. I can't just say it's my money, I can do with it whatever I want. Okay? So therefore, when someone feels that he has achieved his wealth solely through his own talent, and therefore I'm not giving tzedakah, because why should I give you tzedakah? You didn't work, I worked, I got the money. Why should I give you tzedakah? He's basically saying that the money is not God's. It's my money. So that explains why it's considered a tzedakah. It's a very logical thing, by the way. The whole concept of tzedakah, by the way, is the fact that we're the manager of God's estate. The Gemara says, Rebbe used to honor wealthy people. Rebbe Mechaber Hashirim. So the Mefarshim discuss why. You know, there's an expression today, people say, you see what God thinks of money, look who he gave it to. That's what God thinks of money. Look at the people he gave money to, yeah? So, L'chayda, why is Rabbi honoring rich people? Was it they're better people? They're not better people. He said, but if every person's money is we are the manager of that estate. We're their portfolio manager. The fact that God entrusted a wealthy person with a larger portfolio of God's money means God trusts the person. That he could do the right thing with the money. So because of that, Rebbe used to give honor to rich people.
And it's a chut.
Yeah.
So whether he does it or not, it's not
a... That's their business. That's between them and God. So therefore, the bottom line is that the person realizes that it's not my money, it's God's money. And therefore, by giving tzedakah, I'm showing that it's not my money, it's Hashem's money.
Should we show alacrity in giving tzedakah or make them wait?
It should be.
Ask them all kinds of questions.
Might you go work? Yeah.
Depends on how
no,
you like.
But you see, if they're a Ramai, then you don't have to give them.
Rabbi Mans Friedman says, if they come ask you, they didn't come ask your advice. They just come ask for money.
You get
No, no poor people ever come in this show.
No.
Never.
You get the RCC. Everybody else. Come to your show.
Huh?
People, you know,
come with
those certificates?
Stuff from RCC.
Where's the
fund? For Vada Tzedakah.
Huh?
Vada Tzedakah.
Yeah, you get those people too?
No, we don't get any poor people in Beverly Hills. Nobody bothers. They only go to Pico.
Oh, God's
we get lots of them.
Yeah. We send them all to you.
Rebbe said, one of the Sikhot, Tzedakah comes from righteousness, right?
Yeah.
And Hashem gave us.
Yeah. In fact, it says, Mishpat utzdaka biyakiv ata asisa. It's a part, it's a famous part. Mishpat utzdaka biyakiv ata asisa. So there's what is the explanation? What do you mean, Mishpat utzdaka? What judgment and then tzedakah? So it says, Mishpat, you first make a judgment what you deserve to have. And the rest you give to tzedakah. There's a story, I told this story once. There was a guy that had an only son, sent him off to yeshiva. You know, very wealthy man, sent his son to the yeshiva. And he had a caretaker. After this father passed away, they called the son back home. They opened up the will. The caretaker opened up the will, and the will said the following. To the caretaker, give my son what you want, and the rest take for yourself. This is what the will of the father said to the caretaker. Give my son what you want, and the rest take for yourself. The son was very close with his father. So the caretaker said, okay, I'm going to keep 95%. I'm going to give you 5%. That's what your father said. Give my son what you want, and take the rest for yourself. Yeah? So the son went with the paper, with the will to the Rav to say what's going on. You know, my father was very close to me. He was his own only child. So the Rav is studying the paper, and then he all of a sudden he breaks out with a broad smile. And he says, your father was a brilliant man. And he says to the caretaker, who was also there with him, well, you know, what did the guy write? Give my son what you want, and the rest take for yourself. Meaning, you wanted 95%. That's what you took? Give my son what you want.
Oh.
And the rest, you understand? The Rav figured out how brilliant, and he said to the son, your father was brilliant. Because he didn't want you to think, oh, you're going to be loaded now, we're very wealthy with all this money. He wanted you to realize it's not so simple. So he made in the way that the caretaker, he wrote in the will to the caretaker, give my son what you want and the rest take for yourself. But the Rav says, no, give, and that's why he waited that the caretaker should take the 95% for himself. Understand? And then, so that's the...
Oh,
is this story in the Gemara?
No.
Is it in the inner city?
It's the story of the Olamenu 50 years ago. Okay.
I heard a similar story where the servant wanted to take everything and to give my son one thing, and then basically...
That's another story.
You know, he said, your son can pick one
thing. Your son can pick one thing and everything else goes to you.
Right.
So the son was also disturbed. So he went to the Rav, and the Rav said, Chacham, everything the servant owns belongs to you, so pick the servant and you got it all. Okay. Tanan Hosam, no, I'm sorry, skip the Gemara. Tan Rabban Rabban Lund. Hamasames Einai, this speaks about giving, not giving tzedakah. One who blinds his eye, that means he doesn't see when a poor man is coming. Hosam becomes blind. Hametzavas bitnei, blows his stomach, or mekaper ha-shoikei, shrivels his leg, meaning he makes himself appear as if he's sick. Then, by the way, it doesn't mean when you see a blind person. It means if a person wants to make himself sick, that everybody should help him. So he makes himself blind and he blows up his stomach because sick people have blown up stomachs. Or mekaper ha-shoikei, he shrivels his leg. Meaning like this. If you don't need tzedakah and you take tzedakah, that's what it means. The Gemara promises, before you die, you're going to end up blind and bloated stomach and shriveled legs. In other words, you're faking it. That's talking what's going to happen to you. But hamakabel tzedakah vein tzarech lekach, or if one accepts tzedakah and he doesn't need it, seifei, the end result will be ein nifter me'elam. He taka before he dies, he'll taka need tzedakah. You know, the Gemara says, when it comes to tzedakah, don't play games. You're going to be a faker and take tzedakah when you don't need it. Hashem promises you, by the end of your life, you're going to taka need tzedakah. So Hashem says, basically, you know, behaves.
And also for the positive.
The guy fakes
being a
chassid. Yeah, but that's not... Right. Tanan Hosom, now there's also a Mishnah, just still about Tzedakah. Tanan Hosom, there's a Mishnah with this Mishnah Peah. A Mechayv, okay, let me explain this then before we see the Gemara. A poor man is allowed to take Tzedakah if he owns less than 200 zuz. Okay? A person who owns 200 zuz is not allowed to take Tzedakah. But if I have 199 zuz, I can take $1 million tzedakah. But if I have 200 zuz, I can't take tzedakah at all. In fact, the Gemara in Saita says, you want to know what a real mamzer is? A guy who has $199 and a guy comes over to him and gives him a dollar that he shouldn't be able to take tzedakah anymore. He should be able to take truma, mice. Over there, the Mishnah speaks, oh, who could take payah? You know, the poor man. Peah and Leket and Shichot. So the Gemara says, who's a poor man that is allowed to take it? A guy that has 200 zuz. Okay. So now what happens like this? A guy has 150 zuz. He's allowed to take tzedakah. But he has a house. Do you force him to sell his house that now will have 200 zuz? In other words, Is it assets or cash flow? That's the question over here. Do we say if you have $200 assets, because you could sell your house, you don't have $200? Or whatever. So it says a mission pay like this. We don't require a person to sell his house or his utensils that he uses in order to get this, that he should get, have 200 zuz that he shouldn't take tzedakah. So the Gemara says, V'loi, you don't require him to sell? V'atani, we learned in a braisa, ha'yimishtamish b'klei zohav. What happens if a poor man used to be wealthy? And he has golden utensils still. But he's, and they're worth $200. But he's eating out of them. And now he wants to take tzedakah. So the Baisa that says no. Let him sell it. Yishtamish b'kli chesiv. Let him buy silver utensils for less. Meaning let him sell the gold and not take tzedakah. B'kli chesiv, if he was using silver utensils, he has to sell the silver and buy copper. So the Gemara's question is a very simple question. How can the mission we just quoted from Peah say, you don't have to sell your assets to make up the $200, right? By the other price, it says if you're using gold, sell it and do silver. You have silver, sell it and do copper. That means you do tell them to sell stuff. So why this mission says don't tell them to sell stuff and this mission says to tell them to sell stuff? Rav Zvid said, Likash, it's not a question. It's not a contradiction. Okay? When does we say we have to require him to sell utensils? That's with bed and tables. Ha, the case is the kindness. One is speaking, meaning like this. People are very finicky. This is where Mefarshim explains. A person is very finicky what they eat out of. A bed, a table, so you have a different bed. I mean, it wasn't sit and sleep, you know, whatever. So the bed, the Gemara answers, if he has to sell, even though it's not mashma like this in the Gemara B'chal, but it means that if he has bedding, that he has to sell. They shouldn't have to get tzedakah. But cases, you can't, eating utensils, he has to sell them, but not... Okay, 1 minute.
So
So the Gemara asks, Maishnah cases, why is the difference cups and plates, the light, that he doesn't have to sell them because of Me'isili, because he says the cheaper ones are repulsive. So Mita Vishokhanami. Oh, my Lord, Mikabala, he could say, they're not acceptable. I can't sleep on a junky bed. Right? What the Gemara's question is, the way the Gemara answered this contradiction is bedding and tables, you have to sell. Cups and plates, you don't have to sell. Yeah? So Gemara says, 1 minute. Plates and cups, he doesn't have to sell because he could say cheaper ones are disgusting. So why can't he say a cheaper bed is also no good? What's the difference? So Gemara answers a completely different answer. Amar Rava Brei, the Rabbi, Rava, the son of Rabbi said, we're talking about Machresha the Kasta. A more expensive item is speaking about a silver plow. Okay? Meaning like this. If a guy has a very expensive plow, and he could use a cheaper plow, we make him sell the plow to buy a cheaper plow. You know, the Gemara's answer is very, very interesting. Personal items, not a bed, not a table, not cups, not plates, Itaka doesn't have to sell. Those things he doesn't have to sell, he needs them. What does he have to sell? If he has a very expensive plow and he doesn't need such and I'll give you a simple example. The guy has a Rolls Royce, yeah? You tell him, okay, sell it and buy a Toyota. Right? It's still a car.
Yeah, but if he wants a Rolls Royce.
The plow is different because maybe he's using it for the board. He wants to have a good one, heavy duty.
Mm.
No?
We're saying not a plow that doesn't work.
No, plow that works.
You don't need a silver plow.
Maybe he needs it for the work.
No.
He wants a good one. If a cheap one, it's break.
He's saying if he's like a real estate agent and you're taking people in your car to different places, you want it to be
a nice car. That's right. So what, if you're in the Rolls Royce, you take people to places, you sell big houses.
Okay, some of the Gemara, machrish doesn't mean a plow, means a comb they used to, you know, the bathhouse. Bottom line is, the Gemara says like this. If it's something that he can get a cheaper one is just as good, he has to sell it. The expensive one. Right?
Anything?
Anything.
Not bed?
No. Because he could say, I don't like the cheaper bed. But other things that there's no difference. If it's a more expensive one, the cheaper one, then the Mishnah says he has to sell it.
Not the essential thing for eating and sleeping.
Right. Then that's one answer. The Papa Malikasha. The Papa says in a different answer to the question. Garden Kedim Shalav Kedim Shiavali the Gibui. Meaning like this. It's speaking. Does not have to sell his utensils. A pauper is not subject to court imposed seizure. Meaning like this. The Bais is talking about a person that did have under, okay. The Bais is speaking, when do you have to sell the stuff? When he got the money, 200 zuz illegally. No, I mean like this. The guy had 200 zuz. Okay, let's go back. A guy has 200 zuz. He's not allowed to take tzedakah. Right? But he took tzedakah anyway. Now Beis Din finds out that the guy took tzedakah, but he wasn't allowed to. So what does Beis Din make him do? Give it back. So over there, that's when he forced him to sell the stuff to give back the money he took. So Rav Papa Bracha answered a different answer. He says, when do you force a guy to sell the stuff? Right, the Bais Din says you have to force him to sell it. He's speaking when the guy took tzedakah money when he wasn't allowed to. And he has extra money because he wasn't allowed to take it. Beis Din forced him to give it back. So then if he doesn't have the money to give it back, you make him sell his whatever to pay back the money. There's a lot of different answers, which is big halachic differences. I mean, the first answer, the Gemara means any household stuff the guy needs, and he doesn't want to use the cheaper stuff, you can't force him to sell. Right? But the second answer, the Bob, no. B'chal, when it comes to a guy that doesn't have 200 zuz, according to that papa, the second answer to the Gemara, you never force him to sell anything. Never. Why? The Braisa says you force him to sell it. That's speaking when he had 200 zuz. He took tzedakah illegally, and now Beis Din said you gotta take it back, so then he has to sell it. To give it back. What? Okay, this is the end of the tzedakah gemara. Back to ksubas. Okay, Mishnah. Middle of Samachas Omer Aleph. Okay, if you remember before we learned that a girl is supported from the father's estate until she gets married, right? The father has to support her. Okay. Now, it says like this. An orphan girl, meaning orphan under bas mitzvah, was married off by the mother or by the brothers with her consent. Okay, it wasn't against her will. Okay, now, the mother and the brother made an agreement, though. Mea echamishim zuz. A dowry of 150 zuz. 150 zuz, which is a small dowry. Okay? That means like this. The girl brings money into the wedding. Dowry. The anolus bei mi bei avur. She brings dowry, right? It says in the Ksur, the anolus bei mi bei avur. The dowry that you bring in from your father's house. Now, before the Gemara said, much earlier on in the Gemara, that normally the father gives a tenth of his earnings for dowry to the daughter. Okay? Beis Din would force him to give a tenth of his earnings for dowry, which was a lot of money. Here there's no father. Correct? The mother and the brothers are marrying her off. And there, everybody agrees they're bringing in $100 or $50 as dowry. Yes? So what is it then? Yecheli mishetagdil, when the girl gets older, she becomes a gedela 12, she can force them, masheroi linosin law, to give her the proper dowry that the father's estate would be giving. In other words, even though she agreed, this is what the Gemara's chiddush is. The Mishnah is saying, even though she agreed to the $100 or $50 that the mother and the brother made up as dowry, that they're going to give her to bring into the marriage. So l'chedesh, if she agreed, she can't come along and say, no, you have to give me more money.
It's like a 9, 10, 11 year old. But she doesn't have a dad at that age, no?
But she agreed.
Oh, but it doesn't count.
Well, that's the din. Therefore, when she becomes a gedela, she can come along and say, no, I want what's entitled to me. What's entitled to me normally? A tenth of the father's estate.
Is that because she was underage when she decided that?
Yes. Since she was a minor, so a minor's decisions don't carry legal force.
She was a billionaire, she gets...
Well, we'll see in the Gemara, there's a tenth of father's estate, whatever.
So the chiddush is also that if the father is not there, it doesn't go automatically what the father was supposed to give, right?
Well, basically the Gemara says, if she doesn't say anything... Let's say the girl didn't learn this Mishnah. She didn't come to the Gemara class.
Yeah.
She didn't know the Mishnah. And she got married and she said, look, this is what it is, this is what it is. You don't come to her and say, hey, by the way, you need more money. But if she asks for it, when she becomes an adult, it's given to her.
But if she doesn't ask, automatically it doesn't go like the father was alive, it has to come this.
The control is
no.
Going to be...
Yeah.
No. Is that...
Well, one second, we're not...
I think his question was that the father is obligated to give 10% of what he has.
Right.
What if the father is no longer alive, do the sons have to give...
Well, 10%? One second.
I think that's your
question. No, yeah, so I... Okay. So we're not done with the Mishnah. So the first opinion of Mishnah says she's entitled what's fit to be given. Rashi says it's 10%, okay? Now, Rav Yehuda Eimer, Rav Yehuda says like this, how much is she allotted? How much is she given? If he married off the first daughter, meaning he married off a daughter when the father was still alive, yeah? He's not arguing on the Tanakhama. He's explaining the first opinion. The girl was given 100 or 50, right? And now she says, no, I want what I'm entitled to. Now the question, what is she entitled to? Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda says, whatever the father married off his first daughter and gave her when he was alive, let's say he gave 5%, she gets 5%. He gave her 15%, he gives 15%. Right, whatever the precedent was. So the Mishnah says, you give the second what the first one got.
About the father,
1 minute, Chachamim Maimonim, let's fit what they... It's not true, you can't say that.
Oh, the father can't.
1 minute, because he gave the first daughter 15%, he has to give the second daughter 15%. No, it's not true. It says, sometimes a person is poor, and then he becomes rich. Or, Ashivani. So he could have given his first daughter 50,000, and then he became poor, and if he would be alive, he wouldn't give her 50,000. Why are you giving the Chachamim hold? Rabbi Yehuda says, whatever he gave the first daughter, he has to give the second daughter. Doesn't matter what happened. Chaim said, what are you talking? You can't do that. He could have given the 50,000 when he was rich, and then he became poor. What would he give now the second daughter? He wouldn't give her, he'd give her 5,000. Yeah, this he says. Ella, what do you do? Shaman asan chasim, what Beis Din does, they evaluate the property that the father left, then they you give her accordingly.
But this logic makes sense if maybe if sometimes rich, he becomes poor, right? But if the father, when he was alive, he gave less than what he's supposed to give, he cannot give less, we give it to, he did something wrong. He cannot do that.
You know, there's a rule, no? There's an unwritten rule in life. You know, if you marry off a bunch of kids, you can't do one a big wedding and another one a small wedding, and that's... doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
No, halachically, you can't. It's not right.
You just throw the first one a big wedding to attract.
No, what you do is first, you give nothing to the first one, and then whatever you give to the second one, they're happy.
We also learned if the father-in-law doesn't like the groom.
Yeah, that's also what we learned. But, so Rabbi Yehuda says, the first opening part of the Mishnah says, even though they married her off, yeah, and she was given very little, she could say, what am I entitled to? Now the question, what is she entitled to? So the first, Rabbi Yehuda says, whatever he gave the first kid, he has to give the second kid. Chama said, no, it's not true. You have to evaluate. And that's what later on we'll see, how much you have to give a tenth. A tenth.
Of what you have.
Of what you have. But you can't compare it to another daughter, because a chama, I think, see, that's not like the chama. Chama said, you can't say because he gave first one X amount, he has to give the second one. That's not reality.
That's as a dowry, but if she's not getting married, she just gets supported. No
sedar. Yeah, no dowry, you know.
So not only the second daughter, even the first daughter, after the father died, can come and say, you know what, they gave me less.
No, because that the father gave.
Yeah?
Yeah. Here the question of the Gemara is, what would the father give? Uh-huh. But if the father gave, he gave. If the father gave the first daughter $1,000.
If they give less than 10%.
I'm saying, even that.
But he gave $1,000. That's what he gave.
That's what he gave. Yeah.
So they know what he gave.
So that's not a law. They have to give like minimum 10.
No.
But there is no such a thing.
No. But
the other way around, if he was poor and he became rich when he died,
they evaluated.
Then he has to give more. So then because then Bezdin would obligate the father to give more dowry then.
Right. Even though the first daughter would be jealous.
Yeah.
So the first one is gone. You're not going to fix. Go back to fix the other.
If the father was alive, that's done. That's done. Okay.
Who's sponsoring the class tonight?
You, of course.
Moshe Mataban is sponsoring the class tonight in memory of his mother's yard site. Maluk Bas Yitzchok. Maluk Bas Yitzchok. Shalom Aleichem.